Welcome to the January 2026 News Bulletin podcast for yacht and small craft marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our first podcast of the year with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear member and fellow maritime professionals, welcome to 2026 and a happy new year to you and your family. In a turbulent world, may it be a good one for you. IIMS celebrates its 35th anniversary later this year. That's something to be proud of, and as an institute we have come a long way in a little over a third of a century. I was curious to research and discover what a 35th wedding anniversary is known as. To my surprise and delight, I discovered it is referred to as a coral anniversary. The nautical connotations made it seem very appropriate indeed. Last month leading up to the Christmas break flew by, but before the festive period well and truly took hold, IIMS delivered some meaningful training which attracted huge interest and many attendees. I have written a short report about this flurry of activity in this news bulletin for those who were unable to participate. Last year proved to be the busiest travel year for me, and we delivered some excellent conferences and seminars globally. This year offers far fewer long-haul airplane flights for me thankfully, but no less a commitment to continuing to offer some excellent training opportunities. We will share a more detailed event plan in next month's news bulletin. So, having said I have no plans for extensive travel, there is one exception, early in 2026. I am making the trip to co-host the annual IIMS Baltimore conference to be held at the usual MIT AGS facility on the city's outskirts on Friday 30th and Saturday the 31st of January. As ever, James Randi Wren and Ray Bracken have mined and assembled a great collection of speakers for your benefit. Join us face-to-face or remotely by Zoom. I look forward to seeing some of you there. You can find out more details about the program by heading to our website. In last month's news bulletin, I referenced a number of new international maritime regulations coming into force from January 2026. The list is extensive. Forgive me for particularly highlighting the UK commercial under 24 metres small craft sector for a moment. The MCA's new sport or pleasure vessel code officially came into force on the 12th of December 2025. I have devoted some space to this fresh set of regulations because it marks the biggest shake-up in 25 years in this sector and replaces the long-established document MGN 280, amongst others. The learning curve for the IIMS certifying authority is steep, just as it will be for coding scrutineers, examiners and, of course, vessel owners and operators too. The new code applies immediately to new coded vessels, but existing boats have up to 3 years to become compliant. And finally, I wanted to point you towards Edition 5 of the Safety and Loss Prevention Briefings Compendium, which IIMS has published today. I had rather hoped this year's edition might be considerably smaller than previous years, but sadly we have noticed what seems to have been an unwelcome, sharp increase in the number of incidents and accidents at sea, on rivers and inland waterways in 2025. This publication brings it all together in one place and is available to download now via our website. It really is a sobering read, but it has a place on every marine surveyor's electronic bookshelf, and I recommend it to you. Survey well in 2026. Mike, for our first story, news has reached IIMS that Captain Andrew Moll has announced his retirement as Chief Inspector of Marine Accidents with the Marine Accident Investigation Branch, MAIB, after nearly half a century of unbroken public service. He will formally leave the organisation in February 2026. Andrew Moll joined the MAIB in 2005 as a principal inspector and was deputy chief inspector from 2010 until he took up post as the chief inspector in 2018. He obtained a bachelor's degree in psychology through distance learning while working at the branch in order to improve his understanding of human factors in marine accidents. Prior to joining the MAIB, Andrew served 27 years as a deck officer in the Royal Navy. In a personal statement posted on LinkedIn, Andrew said, "After nearly 49 years of unbroken public service, 21 of those at the MAIB, I have decided it is time to retire. It has been a hard decision to take as I firmly believe that my job is one of the best and most rewarding in the marine industry. Further, it has been a real pleasure to work with so many talented people over the years, and I will definitely miss that. With every door that closes, another opens, and my plan for retirement is to commence a 40-week course at the Boat Building Academy in Lyme Regis Learning, unsurprisingly, to build boats." Andrew is regarded as a friend of IIMS, and we are grateful for the help he has given us and the interest he has shown in the Institute over many years. He will be a hard act to follow. For our next report, the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency has published its new sport or pleasure code. Safety and innovation are at the heart of updated regulations for small commercial vessels used for sport or pleasure that was laid before Parliament on 20th of November 2025 with application to be phased in from 12th of December 2025 by the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency, starting only with new vessels entering either code for the first time. The new merchant shipping, vessels in commercial use for sport or pleasure, Regulations 2025 will set clear, pragmatic standards across the sector by underpinning two codes of practice for vessels below and above 24 meters in length. The changes will apply gradually to more vessels as their certificates come up for renewal or within 3 years, whichever is longer. Some of the standards under which existing vessels have been assessed will continue to be accepted under the new code. The sport or pleasure regulations provide a consistent framework that better reflects the commercial sector's growing variety of craft and activities, ranging from sailing vessels, including those engaged in racing activities and race support boats, to high-speed craft carrying passengers on sightseeing trips. Important updates to the sport or pleasure code include responses to relevant safety recommendations by the Marine Accident Investigation Branch, including those relating to fatal incidents. An enabling regulatory framework for vessels using alternative fuels and propulsion to help keep the UK at the forefront of decarbonising the shipping industry. Support for technological innovation and further clarity of survey and inspection requirements for commercial owners and operators. The changes follow at least 2 years of discussion between the MCA and commercial operators, manufacturers and industry bodies, including a 12-week consultation that concluded on the 25th of February and a stakeholders conference on the 15th of May. On behalf of IAMS, CEO Mike Schwartz said, "This is the most significant piece of new regulation to affect the under 24 meters commercially used sport and pleasure vessels for a quarter of a century. Whilst we broadly welcome the new code, it will impose a significant step change for all those involved, from code examiners to vessel owners and operators." Rob Taylor, MCA Code Vessel Lead, said, "This update is long overdue and will support commercial owners and operators by adding relevance and clarity to safety requirements for survey and inspection and innovation. These pragmatic changes recognize the development of standards and the significant shift in use of technology and the growing variety of craft and activities in the commercial sector since the color codes and MGN 280 were first published, providing for all types of vessels, from racing sailing yachts to those used for high-speed passenger rides." The new code also critically addresses recommendations issued to the MCA by the Marine Accident Investigation Branch. "We have spent several years engaging with stakeholders across the small commercial vessel sector. Conversations have shaped the new regulations, reflecting the growth, variety and new technology of vessels, which we want to help keep safe and thrive. You can download the code via the IIAMS news page on the website. For our next segment, please listen for amendments, guidance, and advice from the UK Maritime Coast Guard Agency published October-November 2025. The Hovercraft, Application of Enactments, Amendment, Order 2025. UK Statutory Instruments 2025 No. 1094. This order amends the Hovercraft, Application of Enactments, Order 1989 so as to extend the application of certain provisions in or made under the Merchant Shipping Act 1995 which apply in relation to ships and to hovercraft. Min 727, M&F, Marine Office and Customer Service, telephone number changes. Some Maritime and Coast Guard Agency customer-facing telephone numbers are changing. All new phone numbers are operational as of the date of this notice, for local marine offices and some other MCA services. AN 1039, Guidance on the Use of Sodium Ion Batteries. This notice provides guidance and advice to MCA surveyors and colleagues on the use of sodium ion batteries for use as a source of power for propulsion or house loads. MGN 669, M&F, The Merchant Shipping and Fishing Vessels, Health and Safety at Work, Regulations 2010 as amended, Amendment 3. Guidance to interpret the asbestos regulations and subsequent amendment on legal responsibilities and duties of employers for the health and safety of workers. MGN 410, M&F, The Merchant Shipping and Fishing Vessels, Health and Safety at Work, Work at Height, Regulations 2010, Amendment 4. This notice concerns the protection of maritime workers from the risks associated with working at height. MSN 1838, M, Amendment 2 MLC, 2006 Minimum Age. Information on the minimum age for seafarers and the protection of young seafarers, under 18 years, working on board UK ships. Up next, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority is still asking for feedback on proposed changes to the National Standard for Commercial Vessels, Part C4, Fire Safety. The consultation focuses on a range of proposed changes that aim to make the standard clearer, more practical, and better suited to today's risks and technologies. Surveyors, designers, vessel DCV owners and operators have until Friday, the 6th of February 2026 to read the draft and to give their feedback on the proposed changes. Key changes include fire safety requirements for lithium battery technology, introduction of a medium machinery space category for machinery spaces over 10 square meters, expanding vessel spaces to explicitly include toys, tenders and equipment with petrol engines and lithium batteries, requiring interconnected photoelectric smoke alarms in accommodation and other relevant spaces on some vessels, providing alternative replacements for selected fire extinguishers, clarify fire-resisting division standards and fuel tank boundary requirements, fire performance benchmarks for certain vessel fittings, clarify regulation of wood-fired heaters, editorial amendments resolving outdated references and providing clarity where required. You can have your say via the AMSA website. In our next story, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada has published its final investigation report into the sinking of the fishing vessel Silver Condor, which resulted in the deaths of three crew members near La Tabatière, Quebec. What happened? On the 24th of September 2023, the fishing vessel Silver Condor, with six people on board, began its return trip to port after fishing for redfish. Around midnight on the 25th of September, the vessel started listing to port and sinking by the stern. As the vessel sank, all people on board entered the water. At 02:30, search and rescue authorities received a signal from the Silver Condor's emergency position indicating radio beacon. After trying to contact the vessel without success, a search was launched using several vessels and aircraft. All the people were eventually recovered from the water and brought to the hospital in Corner Brook, Newfoundland and Labrador. Three of the people were treated for hypothermia and other injuries, and the other three were declared dead. The vessel was not recovered. These are the factors that were found to have caused or contributed to the occurrence. The vessel was likely operated beyond its stability limits, reducing its freeboard and its reserve buoyancy, which contributed to its sinking when the sea state degraded. Not all of the vessel's immersion suits were accessible as the vessel sank. Consequently, a crew member donned only a life jacket and, after being exposed to the cold water environment, he became hypothermic and died. The way the life raft was stored likely prevented it from floating freely when the vessel sank by the stern. Consequently, the life raft was inaccessible to the complement as they abandoned ship, and they were then exposed to the elements. Crew members had to don their immersion suits quickly because the vessel was rapidly sinking. Consequently, two crew members did not don their suits properly and were exposed to cold water without adequate protection, which contributed to their deaths. The master was acutely fatigued, which likely reduced his ability to recognize and respond to the unfolding emergency. These are the factors in the occurrence that were found to pose a risk to the transportation system. These factors may or may not have been causal or contributing to the occurrence but could pose a risk in the future. If the maximum weight of catch for safe loading of a fishing vessel is not readily available and shared among all crew members on board, there is a risk that the vessel will be overloaded and that its stability will be compromised. If operational decisions are made according to a perception of vessel safety rather than validated limits, there is a risk that the vessel will be operated in a manner that may compromise its safety. If personnel working on board a vessel do not regularly practice responding to emergencies with drills that include realistic scenarios, there is a risk that they will not respond effectively in an actual emergency. If personnel on board a vessel have not been familiarized with activating the vessel's distress alerting devices, the personnel might not be able to transmit an emergency signal, creating a risk that the emergency response will not be timely. If there are gaps in actual radio coverage from coast stations in Sea Area A1, there is a risk that mariners will not be able to communicate with those stations, which could impede or delay response in an emergency. If the regulatory oversight of radio equipment installation and maintenance is ineffective, equipment deficiencies can remain unidentified, creating a risk that emergency communications will be impacted. If the complement of a fishing vessel works without sufficient periods of rest, there is a risk that they will not be able to respond effectively to an emergency. The following findings resolve an issue of controversy. Identify a mitigating circumstance, or acknowledge a noteworthy element of the occurrence. At the time of the occurrence, the vessel's safety inspection certificate issued by Transport Canada was expired. the certificate was not valid when the Department of Fisheries and Oceans granted an experimental fishing license to the vessel. The master had been medically restricted from performing watchkeeping duties. However, during the occurrence voyage, he kept watch alone during the day and at night when the marine personnel regulations required a certified watchkeeper and one other crew member to be on watch during periods of darkness. You can download the full report via iiamscanada.ca. Next, the non-profit boat US Foundation for Boating Safety and Clean Water has developed a database that will identify and track the locations of abandoned and derelict vessels across the US, its territories and freely associated. Created in partnership with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Marine Debris Program, this national database will allow visitors to report abandoned and derelict vessels on their coastlines, allowing the issue to be better understood on a national scale with the support of the public. Eventually, this database will be able to track the impacts of removal and prevention efforts by showing how the number of ADVs across the country may one day decrease. Abandoned and derelict vessels can crush or smother sensitive plants and corals, leach fuel and other pollutants into the water, threaten safe navigation, and contribute to economic losses. Removing ADVs is a costly effort, often averaging more than $24,000 to remove a single boat, according to Boat US Foundation Director of Outreach Alana Keating said, "When we finally understand the scope of the problem, communities all over the country will be better able to remove abandoned and derelict vessels on their local coastlines. With the information the database provides, they will be able to know exactly where they need to dedicate resources, whether that be towards removing vessels or preventing them from becoming abandoned in the first place. This database is just one part of our critical work that could help make ADVs a thing of the past." Along with the database, the Boat US Foundation awarded grants this year to support ADV removal efforts across Alaska, Guam, Louisiana, Maine, North Carolina, Oregon, the US Virgin Islands and Washington. And in our penultimate story, the UK Inland Waterways Association has produced a first-of-its-kind map revealing the likely impact of 2 degrees Celsius warming on Britain's 5,000-mile network of canals and navigable rivers, as well as other risks. Facing a dual crisis of funding and climate resilience, the new map reveals 99% of Britain's navigable inland waterways are at risk. The research from the only national charity that campaigns for all the country's canals and river navigations finds that 75% of canals are financially insecure, while 99% are expected to experience increased winter rainfall, threatening infrastructure already struggling with years of underinvestment. Key findings include, the majority of our waterways are managed by navigation authorities struggling financially. Canals will be impacted by increased water shortages, especially in the Pennines and Midlands. And our mapping shows that no part of the system will escape susceptibility to winter precipitation and drought risk. Britain's 5,000 miles of navigable canals and rivers, including the 2,700-mile connected system across England and Wales, are a national treasure providing significant public benefit to millions of people across Britain. The inland waterways are blue-green corridors that connect fragmented wildlife habitats and provide free access to nature. They also generate significant economic activity, including associated tourism, supporting over 300,000 jobs and saves the NHS over £1.1 billion each year. Almost 80% of local authorities have a navigable waterway or a waterway under restoration, disproportionately so in more deprived areas. Charlie Norman, IWA's Director of Campaigns, says, "Right now, Britain's matchless canal and river network faces a perfect storm of underinvestment and climate risk. Our findings paint an alarming picture of vital national infrastructure under increased strain. Decades of erratic government support, along with more frequent extreme weather events, have left many waterways vulnerable to breaches, closures, and mounting maintenance costs. This year's drought led to the closure of dozens of canals across the country, affecting wildlife, tourism, businesses, and people living on the canals. Without intervention, the network, a cornerstone of the UK's industrial heritage, providing leisure and tourism destinations for millions, as well as green corridors for wildlife, faces irreversible decline by 2050. Read about the risks and find the map at waterways.org.uk. And for our final report, on the 1st of January 2026, the Marine Casualty Investigation Board, MCIB, was dissolved. From this year, the Marine Accident Investigation Unit will carry out Ireland's statutory marine accident investigations. Any ongoing MCIB investigation will continue to be dealt with and determined by the MCIB investigator concerned or by an MAIU investigator, pursuant to the relevant statutory provisions and modifications. From 2026, notifications of occurrences of marine accidents should be directed to the MAIU by email to info@maiu.gov.ie or by telephone to 0160 40 5 7 8. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.